In the next few weeks, we are beginning a study on the self-descriptions of Jesus found in John, the sort of the I Am discourses, seven statements Jesus made to help us realize he was the great I Am of the Old Testament, who had come to save and seek the lost. In Exodus 3:4, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent unto you. This morning we dealt with, I am the door of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. Let's deal this afternoon with the shepherd. As it has been read to us in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 is one of the best known passages in all the Bible. Most of us learn it as children, and it continues to be a comfort to those who are dying or those who have lost loved ones. In fact, it is very, very personal. David, who wrote this psalm, was shepherding his sheep 3,000 years ago. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Unfortunately, we live in a society where tending sheep is not an ordinary occupation. In fact, some of us never know what a shepherd is like. So I think it is good for us to try and put ourselves into what David is trying to say in Psalm 23. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David himself was a shepherd. In fact, he was known as the shepherd king of Israel. He speaks this psalm as if he's one of the flock. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. After all, he had first-hand experience of what a shepherd is all about. Under one shepherd, the sheep may flourish. Under another, the sheep may starve in endless hardship. And so he says, the Lord is my shepherd. He calls us by name, he makes us his own, and he delights in taking care of us. And so David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, I shall not lack anything, because the Lord is my shepherd. A Sunday school teacher asked a group of children whether they could quote the 23rd Psalm. A little 4.5-year-old girl raised her hand. A bit skeptical, the teacher asked, could you recite the entire Psalm? The little girl said, nodded her head, and she came up the podium, faced the class, made a little bow and said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. She then bowed again and sat down. Although she had overlooked a few verses, I think the little girl captured what is in David's heart. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. You see, that the idea in this psalm is all about the shepherd's care, and there's nothing else that we desire. Our Lord provides our every need, our every want. As Paul says, and my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:9. The same God who sustained the children of Israel, the one who fed Elijah by the brook, the one who provided the needs of the disciples sent out without staff, has promised to provide our needs, both spiritual and physical. Let me tell you what a good shepherd is like. A good shepherd loves his sheep. For there's no greater reward, no greater satisfaction than seeing his sheep well contented, well fed. That's what life is all about. He owes a great deal of trouble to provide them with the best grazing, with the best water and the best clean water. He provides his sheep with shelter from storm, protection from enemies and diseases and parasites for which the sheep are susceptible. From early dawn till late, the Good Shepherd is alert to the welfare of his flock. He gets up early in the morning and he goes out first thing to look after his flock. He examines the sheep and he calls them and they listen to him and they respond to him. At night, he keeps them in the sheep pen and he looks after them. Every night, he listens so that they are protected from marauding wolves. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Next, we read, he makes me down to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, it's not easy for a sheep to lie down. A strange thing about sheep is that they will refuse to lie down unless there are four requirements. And this I learned from reading the books about sheep and shepherd. First of all, the sheep will only lie down if they are free from all fear. Secondly, there must be no tension between members of the flock. Thirdly, they must not be aggravated by flies or parasites. And fourthly, they must be free from hunger. Sounds very human to me. It is the shepherd who must see that his flock is free from any disturbances. You see, sheep are very easily frightened. For example, if there is a stray jackrabbit jumping up behind a bush, the whole flock will panic. When one startled sheep runs in fright, all the others will follow behind it in blind fear. Have you not seen on the TV how the shepherd's sheep, the shepherd dog guides the sheep by looking at one of them which runs off, and then he guides the whole flock together. They all come together as a flock in front of the shepherd dog. Like sheep, we humans are also easily frightened. We live in an uncertain future. We have a credit crunch. We have unemployment. No one knows when their job is going to go. But nothing quietens our souls when the shepherd is near. Nothing quietens us when we are able to have a quiet time and seek the power and love of our God. In every animal society, there's an established order of dominance. In chickens, we call it the pecking order. Among sheep, it is called the butting order. And sheep maintain their status by butting one another and driving each other from a favorite grazing spot. When there is tension in the flock, the sheep can't lie down and rest. They must always stand up and be ready to fight. So much so that it wears them down. They lose weight and become irritable. They forget who they are and they fight. Isn't that like our human beings? There is so much struggle for status in our society to keep up with the Joneses. There's a struggle for self-assertion and self-recognition. Most of us fight to be the top sheep, to be the top man. We butt, we quarrel, we compete. It's impossible for some people to relax in a kind of environment. They have to always stand up and defend their rights. But when things are changed, when we are shepherd is around, the Lord's presence puts an end to all rivalry. The sheep will also not rest when it's bothered by insects and parasites. And the shepherd must provide relief. And sheep will not rest when they are also free, unless they are free from hunger. A hungry sheep is always on its feet, seeking for another mouth of food, trying to satisfy his gnawing hunger. When David wrote this psalm, Palestine is a brown, sunburned land. Green pastures just don't happen by chance. Shepherds had to seek hard for green areas so that the sheep can have enough grass to eat. And they are always under tension and aggravation, and they will not lie down. So the shepherd has to look for green pastures for the sheep. So much so that our good shepherd provides us with spiritual food. If we hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will provide us and fill us. All our needs is met in Christ. That's why he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. Sheep also need water to survive, and they will not drink from noisy, turbulent water. They require a stream of slow-flowing stream of still waters. Isn't that true of human? Jesus provides the thirst for thirsty men and women. And when they come to him, he says, "If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Our shepherd, our good shepherd, leads us beside the still waters. And then we have the next phrase, "He restoreth my soul." There's an old English shepherd's term called a cast sheep. This is a sheep that turned over on its back and can't get up back up again. It happens frequently. If you look at a herd of sheep, you will really see that some of them suddenly lie on its back with its feet flailing frantically in the air. Sometimes it will bleat, sometimes it will kick. But there is no way that the sheep can right itself once it is lying on its back. If the shepherd doesn't arrive within a short time, the sheep will die. That's why one of the reasons why the sheep shepherd is always looking over his flock, counting them by number. If one is missing, he will go out to find them. This is what is known as the parable of the 100 sheep. For when one sheep is missing, the shepherd will go and look for that sheep, for one that has gone astray. And hence you understand the lost sheep, the parable of the lost sheep. Many times the shepherd will search for hours for a single sheep, only to find that the sheep is lying on its back, completely helpless. He will turn the sheep on its legs, rub its legs, restore the circulation, and lift it up again on its feet. After a while, the sheep will stumble and stagger, and then walk steadily and surely. This is possibly what David had in mind when he said, "He restores my soul." The analogy of the sheep lying on its back. David says, "He restores my soul," because that's how the Lord treats us. We stumble and fall. We become helpless. Yet our shepherd, our good shepherd, is patient and tender and help us back on our feet. In our Gospels, we see how Jesus showed love and tenderness towards sinners, how he restored Peter's heart after denying him three times. And this is how Jesus restores my soul and your soul. Next, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? If sheep are left to themselves, they will continue to graze the same hills until they turn to a desert waste. They will gnaw the grass to the very ground until even the roots are damaged. and they need a shepherd to lead them into a good grazing area. We are like a lot of sheep ourselves. As humans, we prefer to follow our own fancies and turn to our own ways. For we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53:6. And so we need a good shepherd who can lead us in the paths of righteousness. And that's what the good shepherd, our Lord, does for us. Notice our shepherd is not a driver, but a leader. He doesn't stand behind us with a stick. No, he goes ahead of us. He leads the way for us. For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you shall follow his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Christ walks ahead of us. He leads us. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Next we read, and yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. This marks a new tone in the whole psalm. Up to all this point, it's as if the sheep need someone to look after them. Now it turns to the shepherd himself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There are going to be valleys in life for all of us. Some of us have many valleys, some of us have few. Some of us have very deep valleys, some not so deep. But somewhere in our journey, we will always cross the valley of the shadow of death. As Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Time is sometimes unknown. It's certain to come. And we must walk one by one. Unless we walk with Christ, we will walk into darkness. We cannot walk with anyone else but with Christ. We cannot walk with our friends, for when we walk through the valley of death, we walk with Christ, or we walk alone. Remember, when we were children, we considered ourselves to be big. We didn't like restrictions. We didn't like anyone to tell us what to do. But whenever there is a thunderstorm comes, we climb into bed with our parents. We need someone who loves us in time of fear. Some adults feel that they don't need God. We can take care of ourselves, but when death approaches, we all run to someone stronger than ourselves. It is very sad sometimes to see in care homes of the dying where some fear as they approach the days of death ahead of them. You can only come close to the Lord if you are close to Him during your life. When it comes to the moment of death, then you are almost near a point of desperation. So come to the Lord during life. Come to Him that He will protect you when the valley is deep, when there are dangers ahead of you. And then He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When a shepherd is out with the flock, he carries very little with him. Of course, today Nowadays, shepherds carry a rifle. But in the early days, they carried a rod and a staff. What is the rod? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is a rod? A rod is like a club. The shepherds learn from childhood how to throw the rod with accuracy and speed. So if there's a wolf that comes after the sheep, he will throw the rod on the wolves, the coyotes, or the stray dogs. And in the bush, he will beat the snakes with a rod. If a sheep wanders away, he uses the staff to guide the sheep. The staff is a long, slender stick, often with a crook or a hook on one end. The shepherd will use the staff to guide the sheep along new paths or through a gate. He doesn't beat the sheep. He just nudges them along. At times, the staff may be used to get a sheep out of trouble, to pull it out from water, or to free it from thorns. To those of us who are God's sheep, the authority, power, might, and guidance of the Lord are a comfort. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Next it says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now this is a very unusual image. Have you ever seen a sheep sitting at a table? In much of the world, the high plateaus of sheep pastures, the plateaus of where the sheep are called mesas. And the word mesa means tables. So where there is a high plateau of sheep, it is called a table. And this seems to be fairly common language. And David probably means the pasture land, the table, the pasture land. You see, in the spring, when the snow melts, the shepherd will take his sheep to the mountains to find pastures. But first, he will go up there to check, to see that the snow has melted. If you ever go to Europe, even to the mountains of Switzerland, where there's snow during winter, but during the summer or early spring, you see the sheep are all going up the mountains to the green pastures when the snow has melted. And the shepherd will take a supply of salt and minerals to distribute over the range. He will decide where this camp will be. He will make sure that the vegetation is enough. He will check for poisonous weeds and cover any snakes. This is what the shepherd does, even in the highlands of Switzerland. In similar fashion, our Lord takes care of us in the presence of our enemies. He goes ahead and checks things out. He sees that we are tempted not beyond the point that we can't overcome it. He knows our sorrows. He endures our struggles in order to help us through. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Next we read, thou anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What does it mean? You see, a particular problem with sheep is insects, flies, mosquitoes, gnats. And sheep are easily bothered by a fly, a nose fly, a nasal fly. This fly buzzes around a sheep's head and deposits eggs on the damp nose of the sheep. If they are successful, the eggs will hatch to form larvae on the nose of the sheep. And it's a great deal of aggravation. It's always nosing around. So at the beginning of the fly season, the shepherd will rub oil on the nose of the sheep. And in Palestine, they use a mixture of olive oil, of sulfur, and spices, and it's applied to the heads of the sheep. Oil is also used to cure scabs, a high contagious disease among sheep. And it says, the good shepherd will take care of us. That's why it says, thou anointest my head with oil. This is what is meant by the shepherd anointing the sheep with oil to prevent insectation, flies, mosquitoes, and gnats. Paul expresses this in his way and says, now to him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power within us. It is true, that's what the Lord does to each one of us, to protect us, and my cup runneth over. Next we read, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord together. The sheep knows when he has a good shepherd, he knows what a privileged situation it is going to be. He knows that the shepherd will take care of him. Our Lord cares for us as a good shepherd. No matter what else may happen, we know that goodness and mercy will follow us. We are content in our flock, and our shepherd is there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We can confidently say that the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23 is an analogy, gives you an image of the sheep and the human being. This is what David is trying to describe, the sheep, the good shepherd, taking care of each one of us. For the Lord desires to be our shepherd. He wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. Jesus never hesitated to make it clear that when we believe in him, we become a new creature. We have a unique relationship between him and us. There is always something about belonging to a good shepherd. It's a distinct mark. We are a new creation. When a shepherd buys some sheep or looks after some sheep, he takes a sharp knife and he has a distinct way of cutting a ear mark into the ear of his sheep. In this way, at a distance, he determines which sheep belongs to him. For it is an easy thing to know that from the mark, he knows who is his sheep. For a man who recognizes the claim of Christ and gives allegiance to his absolute ownership, there's a question of the mark of Christ. The mark of Jesus Christ is the cross. Jesus says, if any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That is a distinctive mark of one who believes in Jesus Christ. There are some who have not submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord, yet they are trying to claim, the Lord is my shepherd. They may enjoy all the benefits, but not so. For the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows his sheep. He knows who are his own. So come to him, for it is difference between joy and sorrow, purposefulness in life and meaningless, eternal life and eternal death. We have to choose and know who the Lord is and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Let me end with a story which I told this morning. There was a famous actor who was a guest of honor at a social gathering, and many people came to him and asked him to recite favorite excerpts from literary works. And an old preacher was there, and he asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor agreed, "Yes, I'll repeat the 23rd Psalm, but provided you also repeat it, recite it." So the actor recited the 23rd Psalm. It was beautifully intoned, with great dramatic emphasis, and he received a lengthy applause. Next, the preacher stood up. His voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was not very clear. But when he finished, there was no applause. There was not a dry room or eye in the room. There were tears in everyone's eye. When someone asked the actor what made the difference, the actor said, "I know the psalm, but the pastor knows the good shepherd." Is the Lord your good shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen.